Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I am G Money. Welcome on this lovely Tuesday evening. I am joined by three very virile young men and one beautiful young lady. It's going to be one heck of a show. A lot of stuff to go over tonight, especially Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and Maui Matsuri and a little bit of Free Comic Book Day. So we have a jam-packed show. So here we go. First off, joining me tonight, let me introduce our guest, our very special guest. Night Darling is in the house, a.k.a. Lindsay is in the house. She's here to report on Maui Matsuri. She's the one in the kimono. Yes?
Uh-huh. I came prepared.
You came prepared.
Festive.
Yes, very festive. joining us to our right, to her right, is Gannon, the one and only horror aficionado, punk rock superstar, and a guy who actually has to get out of here early tonight, surprisingly.
He's got a family, man.
it's a school night.
Yeah. Also joining us tonight, Todd Bernardi is the comic book extraordinaire. Excuse me, comic book creator extraordinaire.
Thank
according
you.
To Todd. According to Alika.
It's the correct usage of the word.
Yeah, it is. Comic book artist is what I call him.
You don't scare me, Swan.
He's the man who is the author of the Kukui Project and was a staple at the Free Comic Book Day. As a matter of fact, he was the... He was the highlight of the show.
He drew me a beautiful piece of artwork.
Yes, he did.
I also drew.
It's nightmare fuel.
It's on my Facebook and
it's
Instagram.
Definitely
fuel.
I loved it. Did you really? Yeah.
If you guys want a little behind the scenes like look, I'll show you what I drew for Alika.
I told Drummy like one of his French girls, and he did not disappoint.
You can follow Todd at Kukui Project on Instagram. I don't know if it's there or not. And of course, ladies and gentlemen,
anytime
to our right, to Todd's right, is the chairman of the comic book board, the man who is responsible for Free Comic Book Day here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, the one and only Alika is in the house tonight as well. Mm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you guys know that first of all, you can follow us on Facebook, like our page at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can also follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. You can follow us on Instagram at @the_NerdWatch. I'm starting to get more and more into the social media thing. I'm trying to be like Lindsay, just less attractive.
Yeah, you don't have to be social to be on social media.
Yeah.
Just a little less attractive.
A little less attractive.
Just show enough skin.
Yeah, just a little skin. That's all. or what I call cleavage.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Yes.
There'd be cleavage on you.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
I'd pay more attention to you.
Would you? Okay, sweet.
Todd would draw you.
He's buying him a V-cut. Hint, hint.
Would you draw me, Todd?
Would
you
draw me? Yeah, I would. I would draw you.
Awesome.
I would overemphasize your back cleavage.
Oh, man. You are the Oh, man. You're the man. But you can also follow us on, getting back to the point, you can follow us on YouTube as well. We're looking for you guys to subscribe as well on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation. And, of course, you guys can please donate to the Patreon, patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. You can find out all the levels of donation. We are fully fan-funded, and we appreciate your...
That's three Fs.
Is it?
We're F'd three times.
Yeah, we are. We are officially fan-funded. So we just want to say thank you guys very much.
Fully
that's why you don't see any, like, baked-in, you know, things on this show. It's straight up just us, and we rely on you, our viewers and our listeners, at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch.
We're not supposed to get baked before the show?
Shut up, Todd. All right, Alika, I don't know if you're prepared, but do we have a list?
Yes.
All right, so before we get into Maui Matsuri, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Free Comic Book Day, let's start with this week in comic books. Tuesday, of course, here at Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Dairy Road is every Tuesday is 20% off Tuesday. But every Wednesday, Alika is so kind as to re-up the price of all his comics and bring in new ones that you pay full price for. It's a new Comic Book Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Let's find out what's happening in comic books this week. And is it Secret Empire this week or was that last week?
Number one was last week.
Okay.
And we had a Free Comic Book Day Secret Empire issue, too.
We are definitely going to be talking about...
Which a lot of folks seem to enjoy burning for some reason on the internet.
We are going to be talking about Free Comic Book Day. But first of all, what's new in comic books this week? Alika.
All new Wolverine number 20.
Ooh.
All-Star Batman number 10. Amazing Spider-Man number 27.
Mm-hmm.
America number 3.
America?
The You know, the young Puerto Rican girl.
Oh.
Oh, he sounded disappointed at that.
Wait, wait, wait. What's it called?
America.
And it's about a young Puerto Rican girl?
That's right.
Oh, okay. Man. All right.
That sounds appropriate.
Right. So many white guys. Batman TMNT Adventures, number 6 of 6. Mm-hmm. Bug the Adventures of the Forager, number 1 of 6. That's a DC book. I want to say is that Ambush Bug or is that a different bug?
No, it's with the New Gods.
Oh, Bug with the New Gods, okay.
Bug with the New
Future
Gods.
Future Quest, number 12, the New Gods being a Jack Kirby creation, of
yes,
course.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like you know,
who's
G.
Jack Kirby?
Yes, I know who Jack Kirby is. He left Marvel for DC and did the New Gods.
Yeah, because they treated him with such respect at DC.
Right.
Well.
I mean at Marvel. Gwenpool, number 15. Speaking of Marvel, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 20. Justice League of America, number 6. Ms. Marvel, number 18. New Superman, or Chooperman, number 11. What's going on?
Chooper. Nothing. I was like giggling. I was making an appearance on Lindsay's Instagram.
Oh, I see. Whatever, guys.
Yeah. I was throwing myself.
He was being social.
I was all being right. Social.
Planet of the Apes, Green Lantern, number 4.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Planet of the Apes and Green Lantern?
Yeah, it's on issue 4
number
already,
four.
Man.
That's insane.
He it's did good. Actually bring it
that
up.
That was your reaction ago. When we announced number 1.
Normally yeah, when Alika talks, I kind of zone out.
You're like good. You're like good. I can go on vacation.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I want to check it out now. That's awesome.
As Pepe the Frog memes dance through your head.
Those are green as well, aren't they?
Who also happened to die on Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, he did. He died on Free Comic Book
Rest in peace,
Day.
Pepe.
But not because of Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, but because of alt-right
because
guys
they
like
decided
yourself.
To burn him in effigy, too.
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 10. Rocket, number 1. That being Rocket Raccoon, of course, from Guardians of the Galaxy,
Guardians
part 2.
Of the Galaxy.
Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, number 13. Secret Warriors, number 1. That's a Marvel book.
I wonder how long Scooby-Doo's Apocalypse is going to be.
It's doing pretty good, actually. Yeah, it's still right. Got a pretty strong subscribership.
Apocalypse.
Wow. They're on issue 13, and they're doing stronger than a lot of Marvel books do by issue 7.
Wow.
So they must be doing something right.
All
right.
This is a hipster book.
Not according to Tom Bernardi, though.
Maybe Marvel should market towards the hipsters.
What do you mean?
Marvel?
What about Marvel?
Who's your favorite?
I love Marvel.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Star Wars Screaming Citadel, number 1. Which sounds interesting. I don't know what that one's about.
Interesting.
The Citadel that
sounds
screams.
Like a heavy metal band.
I know, right?
Screaming Citadel? That's pretty good. Cool. That's pretty cool.
Suicide Squad, number 17. Supergirl, number 9. Weapon X, number 3.
Right.
Wonder Woman, number 22. And X-Men Blue, number 3.
We are less than a month away from Wonder Woman on the big screen here.
Wonder Woman!
Did you say Deadpool, number 30?
I didn't say Deadpool, number 30. Mm.
So
but
wait,
Deadpool number 30.
Is that Deadpool different from the Deadpool versus the Punisher? Is that a different...
Yeah, he's got like 4 different books out right now. He's Deadpool and the Mercs for Money.
Mercs for Money.
Black Panther and the Crew number 2 comes out.
Black Panther and the
really?
Crew?
Yeah, tomorrow. And I just thought that was...
That's hilarious, because now it sounds like a rap group.
Number 2.
Wow. Yeah.
Black Panther and the Crew
that is
number 2.
Hilarious.
Dropping.
You
tomorrow.
Get straight up, yo.
Straight up, yo.
It's anyway. One of those like unnecessary auxiliary books that like Guardians had 3 number ones last week. You know
right,
what I mean? Like
right.
The Marvel is just playing the game where they like throw as many on the board and see which one sticks.
Absolutely. You can get all those comics here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, 333 Dairy Road in Kahului, right here, Maui Comics and Collectibles. Speaking of Maui Comics and Collectibles, since we're talking about them, we just want to thank everyone that came out to Free Comic Book Day here at 333 Dairy Road. I had a blast doing the auction, as I always do every single year for
thanks
the 2 years
Shane-o.
That I've done it.
Thanks to Shane-o. That auction is actually called the Bruce Ellsworth Memorial Comic Auction because Bruce Ellsworth, my mentor, a senior advisor and the Overstreet guy who passed away in 2013, is basically the reason this store is here and why any of this stuff happens is because he had, you know, a lot of credentials and a lot of knowledge in college comics that he passed on to all of us. And everybody in the comic community on Maui basically knows the guy. But the auction, when there used to be a little comic auction here in Kahului, and he would just be so excited. That was like the happiest point in his week. And I would be there and he'd promise not to bid against him. But
and what you did.
But I did.
Well, I have a good time doing it.
Everybody had fun.
I personally think I make the auction better, but that's just my opinion. No, Just kidding. Yeah,
I didn't
thanks.
Stay for it.
No, I'm sad that you didn't. You're the one person I didn't see here.
You did great.
Did I
left.
Thanks, Lindsay.
I got to shave. I took off.
He doesn't know.
He was like, I'm glad you left.
I'm glad.
I got what I wanted from Todd that I bailed.
You did.
It's
well,
true.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, that's very true. So, no, it's so,
fun.
So
it's
Todd,
that's
you
how
were,
I treat most people. Like
you
care
were
about.
A premier artist at Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, with Aaron Nagahara and James Sabani and Shane O'Shaughnessy.
How was your experience on Free Comic Book Day here at Molly Comics and Collectibles?
Yeah, I think it can be summed up in just this one picture,
which is.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh,
wow. Hey, give it to Sean so he can, silent Sean, so he can show the Facebook Live guys.
Oh,
and the
nice.
YouTube
that's my
guys.
Commission. No, I actually have the real thing.
Do you
let
have the real
that.
Thing? Yeah,
the
show everybody. Thing? Show everybody.
Yeah.
Show that's pretty cool.
That's my artist depiction of Alika.
Well, Todd, you did a tremendous job. You did a very good job.
And
I asked Todd to draw a picture of the character Michael, but as me from the comic.
Uh-huh.
With a realistic rebreather on his chest. I don't think I can show this.
Well, show Facebook Live.
Show Facebook Live.
Do you know what's on his chest?
A rebreather.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Clearly.
So you can see Facebook Live. I don't think we can show a Kaku, but if you want to check it out, watch the Facebook Live feed. But we can show Lindsay's Instagram. Let's see.
That's a honker, isn't it? Of a rebreather. Don't let a cockroach.
I know you want.
Wait! I gotta see this thing now. If you guys want to check it out, go to Facebook Live. You can watch the recording.
That's a healthy
of it.
Rebreather.
That is.
That's a veiny triumphant
that's,
one.
That's quite the hog.
Yeah.
It's called a rebreather.
It is clearly.
This is a rebreather.
Todd, you disgust me.
I didn't.
You know how much it cost him to compromise his morals?
It's
and,
not a lot.
And make
it's
fun of his
not
comic.
A lot.
His own comic that he publishes?
Yeah.
I paid him $20 for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if anybody wants.
So if anybody else wants me to compromise my morals, that's all it's going to cost.
He does killer rebreather.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Commissions.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was
just ask him for the rebreather special and wink.
That was
put it in your mouth and breathe into it.
Well, listen, guys, if you didn't come to Free Comic Book Day, it is every single year in May. We had James Silvani down here, the man who is responsible for the artwork in Darkwing Duck, hashtag Save Darkwing. Aaron Nakahara was here hawking his new board game that he put out. He does all the art for
card
it.
Game.
Card game, excuse me.
Was Fields of Valeria.
Fields of Valeria, that's it. Valeria, right? Not malaria. Right?
Right.
Okay, just want to make sure. And then Shane O'Shaughnessy with his Spuds Malone. And then the one and only Todd Bernardi, Kukui Project, Machete Elvis. That's his free comic every single year. And
last year it was The Milkman Always Delivers.
The Milkman Always Delivers. That's right, it was. The Milkman Always Delivers.
Yeah.
And then he's the man who is responsible for Disco Thunder Groovebone, or what I affectionately call Chicken Thunder Groovebone.
Yeah. That's what Kaleo, he just called it Thunder Chicken the whole time.
Thunder Chicken. Right. Or something Spider Monkey, I think. I think is what it is as well.
We're taking it back.
Yeah, we're taking it back. Anyway, Free Comic Book Day, thank you guys for coming out. We certainly do appreciate it. We love doing the auction. We love you guys coming in the store and supporting local business. It's fantastic. So thank you very, 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 very much. Now, moving on to more important news and more important information that we here at the Nerd Watch would like to give you. Let's talk to Night Darling at Night Darling Cosplay on Instagram. She's live on Night Darling and Night Darling Cosplay, I think, right now.
Yep.
On your Instagram page.
Yeah.
She did. We were supposed to go to the Maui Matsuri this weekend, but of course we had Free Comic Book Day. Mm-hmm. She held it down at Maui Matsuri. And for those that do not know that are watching internationally, because by the way, we have a ton of listeners out in Japan. Just want to let you guys know that. Just to let you know.
We're big in Japan.
We're huge.
That is such a line that people who are losers in America say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but we're big in Japan.
Hey, why don't you shut up, Alika?
If G actually went to Japan, he would be huge.
That would be huge.
That's true.
Yeah. But no, we are. We get a lot of listeners from Japan. We get a lot of listeners from Ireland, England.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, for those that don't know what Maui Matsuri is, Night Darling, could you explain to them what it is and what you were doing there in attendance?
Every year we have Maui Matsuri. It's one of my favorite times of the year. It's a Japanese festival, and they do all kinds of things. They do they do bon dance, and they do cosplay competitions, hallway cosplay competitions, Simon eating competitions. There's all different exhibits and things like that.
Simon
so.
And
noodles.
And for the lantern floating, the Japanese Cultural Society
Lets you sign up for the, you know, if you have a relative that recently passed, you can mm-hmm. write out a lantern.
Yeah.
And they'll do it in the big lantern floating at Waikiki.
So yeah. What's the difference between this and, say, like, is there a difference between this and, like, a bone festival? Or is that?
No, yeah. These lantern, you're signing up for the lanterns for the Obon Festival. The Matsuri is just a celebration of Japanese culture.
Okay. So it's cool. Everything there is just kind of Japanese culture.
The Obon is the festival of the dead.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay. So Matsuri is it's a celebration of the Japanese culture.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very cool.
Just a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people get involved, and it's a lot of fun.
And we know that you are a local cosplay legend, so what were you sporting at Mari Matsuri?
This year, I was very honored to be a judge for the cosplay competition.
Nice.
So that was a lot of fun. I just love seeing people go all out in their cosplays and really bring it. So I had a lot of fun judging. I had a lot of fun seeing new cosplayers come out and cosplay for the first time, so that was really nice. And being able to see all, like, the old school ones that, like, keep it going strong.
For sure.
Love seeing them and their creativity and everything like that. So it was really nice to kind of sit on the other side of the stage.
Right.
And judge it all.
Nice.
So instead of being on that stage freaking out, being judged.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. Great creativity this year. First place went to Jordan. He had, like, a samurai costume that he mm-hmm. made. Second place went to Makai Mossman, who always brings it every year. He was Dr. Octopus with the arms.
Wow.
And third was Brian. Mm. I can't remember what he was from. But they made majority of their costumes.
Right.
You know, and we did pre-judging this year, which I was really happy about.
Was this like a youth? Were they the younger set? Did you have
they
like
were,
different?
No, they were all open.
All open ages. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
They were all open ages. Mm-hmm. And when we did the pre-judging, that was really nice because we could actually talk one-on-one with the cosplayers and ask them how they made their pieces.
Uh-huh.
So that was really exciting. And, like, that's where I kind of geek out because I want to know, like, how did you make this? How did you make your armor? How did you make the arms for Dr. Octopus? How did you, you know, what paint did you use and everything like that? So being able to talk to them about how they made it was really awesome.
Cool.
You connected with them on, like, a totally different level. Like, I wasn't a judge anymore. Like, I was a fan at that point.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
So there were a lot of young girls, older girls that participated as well?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think, like, this year it ranged from maybe, like, 16 to, like, 22.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that was kind of, like, the age range. We only had about, like, 7 entries this year, mm-hmm. but they all brought it. Like,
crazy.
We were having such a hard time judging, but it was a lot of fun.
Nice. And mm-hmm. what I know that you were judging, but you obviously were walking around in your cosplay garb. What were
of
you
Of course.
In?
I always have to turn up correctly.
That's correct.
I did Bulma from Dragon Ball Z.
Of course.
This year, so that was a lot of fun. Somebody said that I look like a unicorn frappuccino. Because I had, like, teal hair.
Ironically, that's a little accurate.
Scarf,
I was just saying because I've seen that outfit.
And the pink dress. And, like, when I'm looking through my pictures, I'm like, I look like a unicorn frappuccino.
That is awesome.
Legit. Papa Straw in my head. I'm there.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So that was really funny. It was super awesome. There's, like, a lot of people who knew who Bulma was, where it was from.
Sweet.
And it was just great to, like, kind of interact with people and see fans and everything like that, too, as well.
So Mari Matsuri went over successfully then.
Oh, yeah. It was
Fantastic.
So much fun. It was a lot of fun. Just kind of, like, being in the area with all those people is just...
Is it in the same place every single year here in Maui?
It's at the college, yeah.
Oh, UHMC. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And any other highlights or surprises that you enjoyed at the Mari Matsuri? They always have good food there, by the way.
I didn't get to eat. There was just too much, like,
running around.
There was a lot of, like, dance battles going on and costumes and a lot of twerking happening. And there was, like, all kinds of stuff going on.
That's part of the Japanese culture.
So, I know. It was so... For us cosplayers, we were kind of just, like, running amok over there. So it was a lot of fun.
That's
so
very,
it was,
very cool.
It was great. I love it.
Is it always the first week of May?
We usually try to have it around that time.
The first week
every
of May?
Year. Yeah.
So my Matsuri here is a tradition in the islands. Check it out every single week and every first weekend of May. same week as comic free comic
it
book
always
day.
Is always yeah, it ends always up being that lines way. Up that way
it's pretty
so,
crazy
yeah
but yeah thanks for going and reporting on that.
Of course.
Very, very cool stuff. Maui Matsuri, you can check that out. Hey, listen, don't you go anywhere. Stick around. We're going to be talking about stuff and we'll need your input.
Will do.
All right. So, gentlemen, there's something else. There's some other things on our plate this evening. First off, before we get into any of this Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 talk, I do want to tell everybody, before I forget...
We're going to spoil the crap out of that movie.
We are going to spoil the crap out of that movie, number one. But number two, I want you guys to know that on Saturday, there was a release on Hulu of a fantastic documentary that you need to see. If you're a comic book fan, if you're a fan of Batman... If you're a fan of his origins, there's a great documentary exclusively on Hulu called Batman and Bill. It is tremendous, and I do not want to spoil it by talking about what it is, but you do have to see it. It's an hour and a half doc, and it talks about the origins of Batman, the authorship of him, I guess
Batman,
you could tell.
Batman and Bill is so such an incredible.
Yeah.
I hope, like, you know, everybody's like, yeah, of course, Bill Finger, whatever, but this guy. Going on the journey to the story behind him, Bill Finger, getting... That's the first movie ever to credit Bill Finger as a co-creator of Batman is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. So to that movie's credit, there's one thing that you can't talk crap about. It actually is the first movie that gives Bill Finger his due as the co-creator of Batman. And as the documentary goes on to point out, all the good things that you come to know and love about Batman.
Right.
And you really start to get... kind of disgusted by Bob Kane and the character he becomes over the years after, you know, essentially stealing this, you know, notoriety from Bill Finger, who died in obscurity.
He got slapped by Jim Steranko.
Yeah, Jim Steranko slapped him, too. That was great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you really want to kick it up a notch, though, after you watch this documentary, go watch the Stanley Comic Book Greats interview with Bob Kane.
That's a fantastic... It's on YouTube.
And it's on YouTube. And you can just see how smarmy and disgusting Bob Kane is and smug is about stealing... Because Stan Lee flat out calls him out on it.
He does.
And Bob Kane tries to giggle around it and stuff. And, you know, as much credit as Stan Lee tends to steal for creating the Marvel Universe from Jack Kirby and almost essentially the same thing, maybe not to the same degree... of thing happened to Jack Kirby in his life. Like, he, you know, almost nearly died in poverty and obscurity due to Stan Lee's steal. But, you know, Marvel also kind of tanked. So, but I think it was much, much worse for Bill Finger because Batman is one of the most recognizable brands in the world. And that was basically his creation.
Yeah.
And he lived his life like a nobody. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, you should definitely watch a documentary exclusively on Hulu. And it's one of those documentaries that needs to be seen, especially if you're a fan of Batman and or comic books and are just good documentaries. Even if you don't know anything about comic books, it's a great doc. So check that out. Did you see it yet, Todd?
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it.
Yes.
One of the guys that's really been pushing for Bill Finger to get credit went on Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith.
Yes.
And I can't remember his name right
off. That was actually the guy who made the documentary.
Yes.
And I wish I could remember his name right now, but it's just an amazing... It was like an over a decade long effort, him trying to find an heir. That's the whole key to the puzzle is you need to have an heir in order to challenge rights. Your estate has to have an heir. And so Bill Finger died in obscurity, and his death certificate says no family. So it was like, you know, that's how harsh of a ending he had.
Not to spoil anything, but he truly is like the Dark Knight of...
He is the Batman.
He is the Dark Knight.
I mean, if his story hadn't only recently become more popular, I would say he's probably the... His life seemed like the inspiration behind Rorschach for Watchmen. Because it's like he has the moral compass of Batman, but just a lot lower station in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Gannon hasn't seen this movie yet. I'm in shock.
Gannon barely has time to watch anything these days.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good
point.
He did
watch Guardians, though.
All right, well, Batman.
It was an event. We were all there.
Batman and Bill.
Yeah,
and check that
out. As you know,
Hulu.
We forced all Nerdwatch cast members.
Yeah, it's true.
So here's the thing. What's happening now? We are going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 right here on Facebook Live, YouTube, Akaku and Lindsay's Instagram. You can check that out at Night Darling Cosplay as well. But here's the thing. We want to thank you guys for coming out to the event. We tried to do two premieres at once. We did a double feature, and then we ended up doing the premiere at 7 o'clock as well. We gave away an amazing Official Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 poster, which was phenomenal, and it was framed.
You didn't give that away.
Well, it was
there was an auction.
There was an auction, and it was a silent auction for the good folks at Regal Maui Omegaplex. Every single year they do Stars of Hope, which is a charity that gives to St. Jude's Hospital, American Heart Association, and the like.
Awesome
so,
cause.
It was a very awesome cause.
And the
cause.
Winning bid, that was a fair price, too. I mean, I was about ready to put that bid myself.
Yeah, she got a tremendous Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 poster, and she put in a great donation. It was $50. It was amazing, so thank you so much for that donation. Was fantastic, and want to thank you guys for coming to the premiere. It was a lot of fun, and we can't wait to see you for the next one. We're debating whether or not to do Aliens, but we've got all the Marvel stuff coming up that we're going to be doing. People like what we do, apparently. So
because we give them free stuff.
we'll see. Well, here is the coup de grace this evening. The main event,
the coup
as it
de
were.
Gracie.
Yes, the main event, as it were. Let's talk about
That's
it.
That's how it's pronounced.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. The movie of the I guess you could call it the movie of the summer, or officially starting off the summer movie season. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 happened on May 4th. For us, it was Star Wars Day. So that was very cool.
I'm pretty
sure
it was the same for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But more special for me. So let's talk about it. We're going to spoil the heck out of it. So if you don't want to know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy, turn off your Facebook Live now. But if you did watch it and want some spoilers, we're going to spoil the heck out of it. It's going to be a lot of fun here. So why don't I start at the far end of the table? Let's get some reviews. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, Alika, go.
I loved it.
Wow. You loved it, huh?
Yeah.
What did you love?
That was concise.
What did you love about it?
I loved everything. Okay, here's the one insight that I want to offer before anybody steals it from me.
What's that?
Is I love how the 1980s scene where Kurt Russell's on Earth with, what's her name, Miss Quill?
Yes.
Peter's mom.
Yes, Peter's mom.
And I'm sure this is intentional. I'm sure I'm not the only one who got this. It was just like, it just gave me such a, you know, hard flash to Starman, the 1980s movie.
It had that vibe.
Right? Like, he's the guy from outer space. She falls for him. He has amazing healing and nature powers and this and that. It felt like, and his hair, too. It made me think of Starman.
It was the
80s. Kurt Russell is much more attractive than Jeff Bridges, though. So...
Not in Starman. He was a hard body in that movie.
That is true. I will say this, that Kurt Russell, it has been revealed that his transformation to the younger Kurt Russell was 90% makeup. 90%.
He looked damn good.
Yeah.
Look, he's a handsome man.
Yes,
and
he
that's
is.
An argument for trying to get some good genes up in you, because
I'm telling you what,
that
man,
guy aged well.
I said this at the theater about Kurt Russell. My dad introduced me to guys like John Wayne, and then of course guys like Clint Eastwood in my movie fandom. Then he introduced me to Kurt Russell, and Kurt Russell literally became my John Wayne. He is fantastic.
Well, he's handsome. He's a great character actor. He's charming.
Yeah.
Like, you just see him walk onto the screen, you're like, I'm with this guy, whatever he's doing.
I don't go to movies.
Even when he's kidnapping children and eating them in the core of a planet. I'm like, that's my guy.
That's my guy. I'm with him 100%. Yeah, it's weird because, you know, we normally don't go to the movies to watch. I don't go to the movies to normally watch actors or actresses. But if there's a movie that stars Kurt Russell, I want to watch it.
Overboard? Come on.
Amazing.
The Pure War Tennis Shoes?
Amazing. Yes, amazing. I don't care what anybody says. The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China.
That's like
New York,
the obvious ones.
Escape from LA.
Up.
Amazing. The Mean
Tango
Season.
And Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Kurt Russell's amazing. So overall, though, you liked it?
I loved it.
You thought?
I mean, and so the thing is, I'm sure this will be easy to poke holes in for anybody who like actively dislikes Marvel or whatever.
Poke them.
There's a lot of plot holes or points that really don't stick for me. Like, even watching it, because I was watching it with a critical eye, because I know I'm going to love this movie, so now I'm watching it with the critical eye, so I can defend against all the critical, you know, whatever is going to come against it.
Yes.
And There's Sean lunging to my side. That's
pretty awesome.
How easily and freely Ego, Kurt Russell's character, feels he can tell Star-Lord that he's the one who killed it.
I can back that up.
I know you respond to that, but it still didn't. That wasn't a good enough excuse to me. Because he's just in the moment. Like, he has him hypnotized with the cosmic eyes, which, by the way, was awesome. Like, it was cartoony and comic-y, but real.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you see the cosmos in his eyes and he's, like, hypnotized by, you know, the images of cosmic grandeur. It's a very illustrative, method to do that. And I thought that was a really cool effect.
Yeah, I think they did a good job.
But then, saying, and then I put the tumor in your mom's brain is like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
No, but I mean,
he's just about to conquer the universe with you.
We argued about it after the movie, but I still make the point, like, yeah, there's a bit of a cosmic seduction going on. But I also believe he was that arrogant to think that at this point, I got him on the hook.
Right.
He was arrogant enough to believe that
he was arrogant enough to believe that, like, I've got him in the boat.
You
got to
remember,
like,
I've already reeled him in.
The thing is, he feels like he knows his son enough to know that he's played to his ego enough that cosmic conquest should be in
his
heart,
name is ego,
in his nature.
He was making
but Star-Lord too as well.
Yeah. But he was making the case that, like,
but
this is bigger than just anybody.
He should know. He should also know after millions of years of existence that humans are kind of sensitive when you talk about killing their mommies.
I mean, I can see what you're saying, but I still chalk it up to hubris.
Can I just say that let's make another equation. Ego is, for those that like Ghostbusters, he's Gozer. You know what I'm saying? So he's
supremely confident.
Confident. He doesn't matter.
But I don't think so,
like,
because if he was supremely confident, he wouldn't have had to trick them to come to the planet under false, pretenses.
False pretenses.
He wouldn't have to be like, "Hey, son, I found you. Let's fly comfortably back on the ship where I've murdered all of your brethren."
He had to woo him. He had to woo his son.
Yeah, it was completely under a guise. So
is
he obviously respects the guy's intelligence.
For sure.
That's one of the things that I didn't think added up. I thought that they spent a lot of time introducing his dad, and then did that twist just didn't, like, making him the villain was, I think, a bad move.
I think it matched for the character and for the cosmic scale and everything, but I think the beats, if you weren't as enamored with the movie as I was, you know what I mean, if you weren't having stars in your eyes like Star-Lord the whole time while watching it, then that probably might have bothered you, is the way they slipped into that one.
So, Todd, you, sir, what do you think?
I liked it. I didn't think it was great. I thought...
Oh, man!
I didn't...
What did you think Todd was going to say?
But here's the reason. I think that it suffers from the same problem that all Marvel movies do with the weak villain.
Really?
I just have to register a disagreement on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's
I thought he was a good villain.
We'll mark that down.
Well, you can't introduce him like that story wise and then make him a villain.
Todd just got shot at for his opinion.
You can't make him.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, you can't make him into a villain like that when you've set him up as this cosmic figure, because
you guys are horrible.
Immediately, the problem is that you've got this cosmic figure that has talked about how he's alone in the universe, and he doesn't consider the human race or their feelings. You know what I mean? Like he's not in tune with anything, any other life forms throughout the universe. So why would he even care?
Well, if I can,
and that's my problem with it, is that, like, why would he care enough to kill off the mom?
If I make a justification for his action, it would be the fact that he was literally impregnating the universe to get someone like Peter.
But why would the mom have to die?
But why would the mom have to die? Like, what's the point?
The point of the mother having to die, or him putting the tumor in her brain, was that he didn't need the connection.
No,
he doesn't. He's not. That's not.
He
what he's
does actually
for.
Say that.
But yeah. the point that I'm trying to, that I'm belaboring to make, is that he was going to kill her anyway when he overtook the Earth.
That's true.
Like, he's already impregnated the earth, and he's sired a son with the wife. He has complete disregard for other life in the universe. He wants everything to be the same as him.
Right.
And he's going to be able to get that by having Peter.
Right.
Why kill the mom? That doesn't make any sense.
Remember?
But he does say, because I've seen it twice now, he does say, and it depends on if you believe his speechifying or not, he does say that he did actually love the mom.
But that doesn't make any sense entire race.
Hold on. He does say that he fell in love with the mom, and if he came back, if he kept coming back, he was never going to do his plan.
He was just going to stay with the mom.
By killing her, that was him saying, I need to...
I have to throw her under the bus in order to do what I'm going to do.
So it's like, okay, well, you know what? What I want to do is create a universal genocide, but you know what?
Kill her first and spare her from it.
Yeah. I fell in love with a human, and
now I have feelings.
No, you got to remember.
Doesn't make any sense he wants to create this universal genocide, but then he wants to, like, oh, I'm just going to kill a couple of people on the way there.
He understands ultimately that when he's walking around with his son in that hall, you got to realize he does say to him, I found my purpose. So
kill everybody.
His purpose was to infect the rest of the world with his seed, essentially.
Ew.
And that was what that's what he was going to do. And if it came at the cost of his mother, if it came at the cost of anybody,
so
remember,
ego is the worst STD ever.
You could actually say that in some respect.
In a nutshell, yeah.
Yeah, you could actually say.
So Jason on the live, which is the better side of the point that you were making to say that it's a bad reason, was that he was under the impression that he killed her because he didn't want to be attached to her because he was so in love with her, which is what Ganon was saying.
That makes
which
sense.
Is kind of what he was saying when he was explaining why that song was so genius.
Right.
He's like, Brandy, you're a great
wife. You're a fine girl.
You're a fine girl, but...
She was a distraction in his plan.
Yeah. Right.
And he was reaching a point where...
And that's the better side of that point.
My takeaway from the movie.
But I also agree with Todd was saying that's kind of a flimsy point.
Can I say this really quick?
I think that makes him a weak character. I think that's weak character development. I think that's lazy writing, and that's why I don't like the movie.
All right, here's the thing. This is
you can't not.
Can
like
you believe
it? It's
this?
Guardians.
My Instagram
Night Darling's Instagram is fired up as well. And
are they
there's
getting
somebody,
as crazy as
Todd? a guy by the name of Spray and Pray said.
I know him, by the way.
He said he had to kill to continue his conquest of the galaxy because if she lived, he would have spared Earth. And that does make sense.
But I think that's also lazy writing.
Get killing her out of the way.
Right, because if he doesn't kill her, he can't fulfill his purpose because she is in the way of what his ultimate purpose is. Because remember, he was mulling around for millions of years trying to find a purpose, and that was where I was.
But also, it's kind of disappointing that.
But the whole point of being like a celestial, why do you need purpose? You're a celestial. If your purpose is just to create?
But you see, that's the difference between, and that's where I, in my head, logically, I think in the Marvel universe, there's a difference between being a celestial and being a god. That's what I think.
And I don't believe there. I mean, there is, and Thor is a god,
right?
And Ego is a celestial,
right?
And if Ego's purpose, why can't he be a force for creation, and be this disaffected, altruistic force for creation?
Well,
like, that's my point, is like, I think that it would have been a much more interesting choice to keep him alive, find a different villain for the Guardians throughout the movie, and let him go on being this disaffected sort of
let me say this, and I will kind of move forward with the conversation in this respect. Let's put it this way. If we were to equate this to a biblical father-son issue between God and Jesus Christ, as it were, right? Let's put it this way. God himself is sovereign. Ego is also sovereign. He does as he pleases, or he believes, and he believes and does things as he pleases. It's not to anybody's will but his own. You understand what I'm saying? So he's a sovereign celestial, as in what he says goes, and he can do as he pleases. So if that means that his purpose, if he's fulfilling a prophecy, let's say he finds his purpose, and his prophecy is to fulfill that he's going to implant his seed into the world, nothing can stand in his way of his purpose and his prophecy. Therefore, in order for him to continue his work that he believes is good work, he not only has to fulfill it with himself, but he also wants to rule alongside his son, who was the first ever half-human, half-celestial.
He didn't want to rule with his
not,
son.
Well, you know what I mean.
He wanted to use his son.
He wanted to use his right. He wanted to use his
battery. He's like, once he saw him revolt, right, he was like, I'll just use you.
Yeah.
So the point that I'm trying to make,
sure,
is that it's sort of lazy writing to vilify somebody who you can't know their purpose. You can't, and the fact that, like, he says that he has a purpose,
yeah,
means that
he spells it out pretty clearly, though, don't you
think? Right. So, but the thing is, you know, if I just don't buy it. I think that, like, if you have that kind of creative control and you can make an impact on the universe,
right?
Why is it so xenophobic? Like, why are you trying to make everything the same as you when instead of...
Well, when your assumption is... let me just say this. When your assumption, as far as we know, when your assumption is that you are the only thing that's the most powerful being in the universe, when you don't know, when you have been able to conquer the majority of those that are out there already, not knowing what lies ahead of you, then therefore the ego kicks in and says, I can do as I want. Regardless, so he doesn't. That's why, remember in the beginning of the film where he literally takes out these guys with his finger. He takes out an entire. He wipes them out with just a snap of his fingers, practically, and he wipes out this battalion of ships. So remember, he's in this mode where he thinks that he is the god. He created his own world, and then he did it again on other Earths, and he's been getting away with it over and over and over and over again. So what would make him change his mind, or what would make him?
But that's the thing, is like, if you have this ultimate power, as you say,
sure,
then, you know, nobody can dispute,
sure,
that. Why make it good or bad?
And
I think that the fact that, like, they made it bad,
right,
and then turned him into a villain is lazy writing.
Well, let's say the absolute. What does it say? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So if you believe that you're the absolute power, so you're and you got to remember that I don't think he believes that what he's doing is evil. That's what I think. I don't think what he believes is he's evil.
But I understand that. But the way that they've portrayed it,
uh-huh,
and the way that everybody's reaction to it was, mm-hmm, like, oh, this is completely evil.
Sure,
is pretty ham-fisted. Like, I think that, like, they sort of came at this film, and they made ego evil because it was the easiest thing to do.
In some respects, I'll give you that.
I think that
I'll give you that.
Tied up the plot from the first one, that, and everything about Yondu and everything. I think,
and also that's funny. You bring whatever that up, weaknesses, ties that in
whatever
too.
Weaknesses that storyline has, actually makes the whole Guardian saga that much stronger.
Right.
Well, and when I saw it back to back Thursday night, I felt like there was a little bit more balance to it, but I just didn't think that making the dad evil and the villain was a very good way
less about the dad, and it's more about, like, resolving things in Peter.
So
it's more of a device bring Star-Lord on it.
I think it was the easiest way to get out of what they got themselves into before Infinity War.
And ultimately, the more important storyline is between Yondu and Peter, and the most important thing that he says is, you know, that Ego may have been your father, but I was your daddy. And I think that...
I like the way that tied
actually,
up. I think that was good.
Right. No. You know, because anybody can be a father.
He might have been your daddy, but I was your father.
No, wasn't it?
Or was it the other way around?
No, it was the other way around.
Either way.
Right.
The sentiment is what's important.
Ganon.
Huh?
Well, you can father a child, but it's hard to be a dad. You understand? That's how I always thought about it.
I don't know. It depends on how you do it.
Easy. All right. What did you think of the film?
I don't know. I find it strange. It's the first time I've had a disconnect with Todd.
Wow. Interesting.
It's my takeaway from the movie now. Okay. But I think this is probably the first complex, interesting villain that Marvel's had since Loki. That's just how I felt about it.
Sure.
The movie overall, though, and this kind of lends to what Todd's trying to say, I think, in a way, I kind of got the sense watching the movie that James Gunn started writing the movie without any idea what he was going to do.
Because
the movie doesn't really have a plot. It just has things that keep happening.
There are plot points that keep pushing it forward.
The real discernible plot is that, you know, they wrong the Sovereign, and then the Sovereign's coming after them through the whole movie, but the Sovereign's not the important factor to the movie. As a matter of fact, they're probably not going to be important to the third film.
Right.
And nothing really happens to them because nobody's killed in that situation.
Spoiler, they may just be wiped out.
Yeah, yeah, so I kind of got the impression, like, I got a weird Star Trek V vibe out of it.
Ooh, that's weird.
That they went to a planet to go meet a god.
That is so strange that you say that, because that totally makes sense.
Why does God need a star? You know, that didn't happen in the movie, but, like, I kind of caught that vibe from it. But not in a bad way.
But Peter Quill is the starship.
But not in a bad way. But yeah. I thought Ego was actually kind of interesting and complex.
Yeah.
Because he's emotionally one way, but logically another.
Right.
And the way I came out of it is that he's not really a villain. He's not really doing anything from a villainous place. He's not killing anybody because he thinks he's... Well, I guess he does think he's better than them. But he says that they're disappointing because of his grander scheme, but it's not really from an evil place in his mind.
He could be doing it... He believes he's doing it for the betterment of... For them and for him.
Because he's been
around
for millions of years or whatever. But, it's the first time that there was a Marvel character, a Marvel villain that I actually cared about in these movies.
Sure.
The one thing that I will say, the movie's built off of character instead of plot. That much I will say. But one thing that I think James Gunn did this time that he probably should have done another pass on was that it seemed like whenever things got emotionally interesting, he had to undercut it with a joke. And he kind of does a little bit too much.
Mm.
That's the other thing that kind of jumped at me is how much humor's in this
movie.
The
jokes, they're great, don't get me wrong, but like, he would undercut a lot of emotional stuff with a joke that was very unnecessary, even though it played well. Like the scene where Peter Quill turns into Pac-Man, it's funny, but
The kids, I heard children groan about that.
Yeah, it's during the backdrop of this emotional fight between him and his father, and they throw in a joke, and, like, you know, it's funny, but when you think about it logically, it's like, why is Peter thinking about Pac-Man right now?
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
You know?
That does make sense.
And you don't want to get too far down that road, because it's not a very realistic film to be in the first place. But I feel like James Gunn didn't allow for the emotional stuff to breathe enough.
Yeah.
It's almost like he was kind of too scared to let the emotions breathe in the story.
Well,
he felt like there was a constant need to keep the humor going.
There's
nothing inherently wrong with that, but I just feel like James Gunn might not have been secure enough to just let the emotional stuff work on its own without having to throw a joke in.
Let me defend James Gunn's decisions about that, because the way he wraps up this film, regardless of what you think about Guardians or whatever, this is probably the most sentimental Marvel movie you will ever see.
So was the first one.
I thought that this is more sentimental in the fact that we dealt with...
It ends on a somber note.
Very somber. Not only that, but it deals with fathers and sons. It deals with sisters. It deals with friends. It deals with
every
friendships.
Every character, despite... Outside of Drax, has an arc.
An actual arc. And even Drax himself has an arc with Mantis.
Sort of.
I will say that this is one of those movies that... If they had stuck to those themes that you were trying to say without the jokes, I think it would have played a lot less Guardians of the Galaxy. You know what I mean?
Yes and no, but I mean, because we watched both movies
back to back. Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of emotion going on in the first one.
Sure.
But because it's dealing with parents and family and things like that, emotions come into it. I think maybe James Gunn was just a little worried that things are going to get too emotional.
Yeah.
So you have to undercut it with
that. That's right. I believe
one
that.
One thing I will say that does benefit from a second viewing is watch Pom Clementeef, who plays Mantis.
Him plays Mantis, yeah.
Watch her, because she's actually, if you watch her from the start of the film, if you already know where the plot's going,
right?
If you pay attention to her, she's actually wearing it on her face very well, what's going on in the story.
Yeah,
the first moment you see her, she looks very like oh my God, some stuff's going on. But you don't really know because you don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
Like, she uses the word progeny instead of son.
Son, yeah.
So she flat out tells you, she kind of, in a way, tells you that, you know, there's more than one child in this equation. It was actually kind of clever the way it was played out.
Yeah.
And I don't really know her body of work at all, but she did a good performance if you watch it the second time around.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because
no doubt.
It's there.
Yeah. I'm on my end, not to make it too long. I thought that this movie was not a sequel. This felt like a literal continuation of the first film.
It felt like a setup to a third film.
Correct.
But not in like this is a part two. Like,
right.
This is what's the story that you need to get to part three.
Yeah. This is what it felt like, and what Todd said is correct. It felt like this was cleanup for what's coming next, because the next time we see them or the Guardians is going to be in Infinity War.
Peter Quill suddenly not being a Celestial just because his father gets killed.
That was the one thing I was going to bring up. That's the only thing
I didn't like about the movie.
I didn't understand how he managed to lose his Celestial, his him being part of his Celestial being because his father dies. I didn't get
that. It's Phantom Menace all over again. Just because you killed the mothership, nothing works now.
It's really strange. That would mean that if I kill my mother, does that mean
I'm no longer Portuguese?
Right, right, right. Exactly. That doesn't make sense at all. So that I had a problem with that, and that was my biggest.
And
thing
you know,
movie.
When I watched the movie the second time around, I was trying to see if there was something in the rules that
you
explains
missed?
That.
Yeah.
But all he actually says is that the light is inside of you,
right?
And that the light will live forever,
right?
So long as the light continues to go. He does not say the light fades completely if the light's gone, just that you won't live forever.
Right. That's very true. That's a good point.
So he doesn't say that you're no longer a celestial being, just that you won't live forever. So I'm just like, okay, so they don't tell you.
I thought that
it's just they're depowering him, so Avengers Infinity War doesn't have Peter Quill as a super being.
He's only half super being.
Right, right.
No, but when he's flying around making his arms turn into rocks and stuff like that, that's a little handy when you're going to fight Thanos and you don't want him to be too much of a...
And then all of a sudden, the very first question I have when Yondu saves Peter and they're going up into space...
Mary Poppins, y'all!
Yeah. When he saves him and he...
When he puts the
space suit on Peter...
Trash Panda.
I thought to myself... Why is he putting that on Peter when he could just wear it because Peter's a celestial being? I mean, for crying out loud, Peter was the guy who held the Infinity Stone. Are they calling it stones or gems again? Is it stones, right?
So he was always stones.
Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, well, it's gems in the comic. It's totally confusing.
Stone sounds cooler.
Yeah, it does sound cooler.
Hey,
anyway.
Show me your stones.
After the show.
And then hit me in the family gems.
I have to say that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 for me was great.
Like maybe a 2-star movie?
I have to say that I would put it on par with the first one because I think they go hand in hand. It's hard to separate them. I'd probably give it 4 stars. But here's the thing. I'm a sucker for sentimental, and I thought this was a great sentimental film. I actually cried a couple times in the movie, no doubt. And, by the way,
it's a good thing you saw it in 3D. I had to take them off.
When he's throwing the celestial ball around with his dad, I was like,
game of ball with pops.
I just started losing it. I was like, oh, dude.
You know, it's a weird balance because – when he says that, you don't think it's a setup.
Yeah.
So when it pays off, it could come across as like the dumbest joke
and it was
possible.
So cute.
But it doesn't. It actually works, and I think it's all because of Kurt Russell's face.
It is, because he looks like a proud dad.
He's so handsome.
He's just such an expressive actor.
I think it worked too, but it also, like, I heard numerous groans throughout the
film. There were a few,
not but
everybody
I loved it. I mean, the older you get, the more sentimental you become, and when you have to deal with kids and things like that, there's some emotional connection that you derive from that. So I really thought that was cool. I will say this, and something that we haven't broached yet, I thought that the relationship between Peter and Gamora was perfect. I thought it worked out great.
And we had better resolution at the end of this.
We did.
It was totally exactly what they spell it out as, the unspoken 80s sitcom thing.
I loved it.
When he said that, I'm just like, wow, that's...
Yeah, but they got away with it.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It is actually kind of great that you spell it out by saying it.
and they never jumped the shark.
Yeah.
That was great.
No, come on. They're totally Ross and Rachel. It's 90s. They got the decade wrong.
They are Tony and Angela, okay? Because once Tony and Angela kissed, they jumped the shark, and that was, and then the show went downhill.
Oh, and God,
it did not. I was on it till the last episode.
Also,
Jonathan,
God yeah, bless you would James be. Gunn for having restraint with Baby Groot.
Oh yeah,
because you think to yourself, okay, Groot is the thing that was like the standout from the first film. So yeah, I went into the movie expecting Baby Groot to be like the thing that's like they got to work it into everything in the movie. He peppered it in just right.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
like,
he did.
The dominant scenes where Baby Groot takes over the story or whatever is just enough that it's logical that they would, but not so much as like, but the throwaway line with Taserface, like he's too adorable to kill.
Yeah.
You know that James Gunn wrote that just because like, you know what, I have to have them say something.
Something.
It doesn't make any sense why they let that thing live.
Yeah, exactly. And
so it's like, I'm just going to throw it in there because you know what, we're obviously not going
to
do it.
And I have to commend Bradley Cooper's voice work because
Did he do
Rocket
motion
Raccoon.
Capture too, or just the voice?
That's
James Gunn's brother doing the motion capture.
But he did,
but like for the
facial. During recording, he did have the facial, just the facial.
Because there's
studios.
So much expression going on Rocket's face.
Bradley Cooper does an amazing job as Rocket Raccoon. He brings a lot of emotion and a lot of a gravitas to that, surprisingly enough. And that last scene that we end on in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with that one tear rolling down Rocket Raccoon's cheek is just perfect. It just makes sense because you realize that he turns an emotional corner in his own life. And that was very cool the way they did that. And I thought they
did a
very good
job. Was that like the fifth ending? Is that the fifth
set
of West season?
Here we go.
No, I was just curious. I don't really remember.
Yeah, it was the very... It was the,
that's
no,
the
it was,
actual
that's
ending,
the actual
of, the
ending
proper.
Of the film proper.
Oh, I don't I don't think it had one of those.
And
I think it just kept going.
And I will say this, by the way, not to... something else. I thought that the soundtrack was phenomenal.
See, I don't.
I liked it.
I think that the soundtrack to the first movie...
They needed more Sex Pistols,
they didn't
right?
have a good enough selection.
It didn't stand out the way the first film sounded.
But you know what's messed up is, during the trailer, I thought their choice of Rhiannon was...
Oh, no, you mean...
Or Fleetwood Mac, whatever song it was.
Chain.
That was a good choice.
Great song.
And they should have opened the movie with that song because you don't really. They pick songs that you don't realize how rocking they are until you put them in an action sequence. Like, you know, you wouldn't think that The Chain is like a nice rocking song.
Great song.
But then Mr. Blue Sky, which was already made popular in another movie that kind of
Sunshine.
Recently, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, that's the one.
It was a weaker choice, I think. I didn't like that song.
I read an article about that. They couldn't get the Electric Light Orchestra song that they wanted.
Jeff Lynne. Yeah.
Yeah, they had to get that one. They couldn't get the other one.
Why was it Blinded by the Light? I bet.
Something
you
like
would
that.
Think Guardians of the Galaxy wants your song. They'd make a deal.
Well, James Gunn said that he believes that ELO is the soundtrack to the Guardians, which is apropos because I think they are as well. But I will say this.
Can you imagine the soundtrack when Peter Quill gets a hold of an iPad or an iPhone?
He's got a Zune now,
man.
He's
got a Zune now.
He's got a Zune before he goes to Earth.
That's true. It's a good point.
The second he gets to Earth, Tony Stark's going to be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to upgrade you.
That's gonna be a funny scene when he shows the Zune to the Avengers.
It's gonna be awesome.
That's gonna be hilarious.
I tell you
Tony
what,
Tony Stark's just gonna be like, dude, I'll give you every song known to man this year.
I loved the soundtrack just because I think Looking Glass, Brandy or Fine Girl is one of my favorite songs. A song that I haven't heard in years by Silver was great. The Wham Bam Shang-a-Lang was great. But yeah, I thought that the soundtrack, although not as impactful as the first soundtrack,
it wasn't as rock and roll as the first.
It felt like a cool, like light pop AM station from the 70s, and I thought that worked for me. I like that music anyway, those light hits, as it were. But anyway, listen, we've gone overtime. Swan's gonna have to cut the show for a kaku, but we're still gonna go. We're still gonna move on. So overall, Lindsay, did you get a chance to watch it?
No.
No, I did.
No sense in her going now. No sense in her going.
I will eventually watch it. That's for sure.
Okay,
I have listened to the soundtrack. I personally like it.
I loved it. I'm
cool with it.
I liked it a lot.
So,
I thought it was great. And I would have to say, listening to our conversation about it, what star rating would you give it?
I don't know. I can't really say, but I can.
How would you rate our arguments over this?
I always love the arguments.
I give this argument 5 stars.
I give it like, well,
it's garbage. 1 star.
It's a pretty good argument. It's pretty up there. Yeah. But I do have to say that ever since like the talk of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 has been coming out,
yeah,
heavy cosplays have been coming out.
Yeah,
I just see it like all over my feed. Like,
I
want to
see
some
Nebula cosplays because that's challenging. First off,
jeez, we didn't even
and
talk about
just,
that either.
She is great. Nebula,
yeah,
awesome
in
this
it.
Movie.
The Gamora and Nebula, their relationship was great. Listen, I was going to bring that up. Give me a second. First of all, Alika, where would you put it on your star rating, 1 to 5?
I'm going to give it. So the first Guardians was 5.
Mm-hmm.
It was very close behind with 4.5, just because. You know, I mean, the first one was just like legend. It was so
sure,
good. And
sure.
I can, and the rewatchability on this one is probably also as good, but I would say the first one's a way stronger movie.
I don't know, that middle slump of the movie, though.
Well,
it's a bit of a trudge.
Of which one? This one?
Of the
yeah.
second
one. Yeah.
It's a bit of a trudge the second time around.
But I'm so blown away by the visuals, which is what I love about the Guardians. I love
yeah.
everything about Cosmic. The mm-hmm. Sovereign was incredible.
Yeah.
The end sequence with Adam Warlock, as Swan just reminded
us. I just don't believe that you suck, Sarlacc. Would be in their vernacular.
Yeah, I know.
That's
but
me,
no,
that's
but that, I think
little bit.
I like that because they're totally analogous to, you know, rich Beverly Hills kids of the universe.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That looks like their spa where
they're
doing the drone fighting.
Right.
And they don't take, there's no stakes in anything. They're like,
nothing.
You know, you're sent out to massacre a race of people in your drones. You don't take it seriously. It's just like another day at video games.
I was also irritated when Star-Lord said
seriously.
Trash Panda.
Oh yeah!
Just for the sake that that's a term that became more popular today's age, not in 1986 or whatever it was.
I'm sure some
there.
Witty
trash
kid in the 80s said
good,
it before.
Though. Trash Panda's good.
You think in space there's? I mean,
no, but he was on Earth like, in the 80s. Maybe
but
some witty kid
said Trash Panda back.
Maybe some super. Prescient
Trash
kid.
Panda's awesome, though.
You know, when you were in middle school, some kids were slinging some really sick jokes, and you're like, this kid's way ahead of his time.
This kid's way ahead of his time, man.
All right, Todd, what did you give the movie?
I give it 2.5. I mean, it's a 3-star movie on an emotional level, but because the villain sucks so much, and the writing is so lazy, like, I'm going to give it 2.5 stars.
Good for you. I admire and respect the
it's
way you stand your
like
ground.
I just like
it.
Logically,
you don't
it's
have
a
to
2.5
that.
Star movie.
I gotta respect.
If
it.
I have to, if I'm going with my gut, I would say it's like at least a 3-star movie.
Okay,
but like I really hate the way that the story just falls apart once they make the dad the villain. For me, like when I saw that, I was just like, oh, this sucks.
And
it might even be because I'm having an emotional reaction to having like the villain. Be the dad, like
it could be,
but I really.
But then again, you have a good dad, though.
Yeah, what? No, he's a villain. I mean, my. But the I just really like it. Bummed me out when they took that because it was like that is such an easy way out. There's nothing clever or interesting about making him the villain. And it's not even he's not even a complicated villain.
Sure.
So I really felt like I was really disappointed in the movie.
It sounds like it sounds like you're trying to give it a better star rating.
No,
than
I
you
really
can.
But I mean just from an artistic point of view.
Sure.
The way that the movie was designed, the way that the shots were shot,
yeah.
it reminded me of some like there were some things in there.
Right.
Like when Yondu takes his ship back, that just was like this epic samurai Kurosawa type, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
like, oh, yeah.
And like I was just like, the way that he's shooting this is amazing, and the way that they're putting it together is just immaculate.
Yeah.
If they didn't take the easy way out on the villain, like I would have given it a better star rating.
Michael Rooker is a modern day Toshiro Mifune for sure. I can agree with you on that.
They've got the same kind of smile.
Yeah, they do.
Toshiro Mifune, y'all.
Y'all. That's the name of the podcast.
Somehow a blue dude from outer space has a southern drawl.
That's great. Gannon, what about you, sir? 1 to 5. What do you think?
I'd give it a 4.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm with you. I'm gonna give it a 4 as well.
I just don't think that the guy that wrote Romeo and Juliet should be making movies this good. Right. I don't feel like he should.
Yeah, he shouldn't be. He definitely
should. But
then
again,
be.
You know, Peter Jackson was making Meet the Feebles before he did Lord of the Rings.
All right, well, so listen, before we go, we do want to address a couple of things from Guardians that people are asking about in the comments section. Number one, it looks like we may get a Ravagers movie starring Sylvester Stallone, which would be awesome.
Or not.
It wouldn't be Ravagers. It would be Guardians of the Galaxy.
It would be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Because
sure.
Stakar is Starhawk, the original leader of the Guardians, and you also had the Crystal Guy and... Charlie.
That was Michael
13.
Rosenbaum, by the way.
Yes, it was. And by the way,
I didn't know that until I read the credits.
Did
later.
You know who the voice was of the mask?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
I am. What?
Yes.
Mainframe.
Mainframe. She's Mainframe. So that's crazy. Michelle Yeoh was in it as well. That was very cool. So we may get a movie. Ving Rhames.
Charlie 13.
Yep, it'd be awesome. So I'm excited for that. Secondly, let's address the 800-pound gorilla in the room once again. Adam Warlock was teased. He is a pivotal part of the.
He's the final gem.
Yes, he is. And
but he's not going to be in the Avengers Infinity War.
Can I spoil this from the comics? It will. Is there any way they're going to follow the storyline where Adam Warlock is the destruction of Thanos? Is that ever going to happen?
Kevin Feige flat out said he's not going to be in Infinity War.
Wow. Okay.
But the gauntlet, actually, you're thinking of War is the one where he just gives up. Thanos just surrenders and
right.
becomes a farmer.
What?
But gauntlet is the one where Warlock shows up and he's...
Right.
So they, and Zoe Saldana also spilled the beans that the second Infinity movie is not going to be War. It's going to be Gauntlet.
Gauntlet.
So
yeah.
we will see Adam Warlock in that movie.
That'd be
guaranteed.
Awesome. Okay, so then that's a big one. Adam Warlock's a big one. The other two are kind of fun, so we won't get into that. But I think that Adam Warlock will be a role, but not a pivotal one in the upcoming Marvel movie. So, but anywho, gentlemen, lady, I think we're out of time. I can't even believe it. We went overtime a little too much today.
It's mostly Todd's fault.
Yeah, it is. Todd just droned on and
sorry.
On and
sorry.
On. But I will say this: there are a few things on Blu-ray that you can get right, Mr. Gannon.
What the hell are you looking at me for?
I don't know. I thought you had some.
No. I don't think so.
There is, by the way, exclusively to digital this week is Get Out. So if you haven't seen Get Out, you can watch it now. That's the film by Jordan Peele. You should
you
check
had to
it
think
out.
About it for a
yeah.
minute. The best reviewed movie of the year, and you
yeah.
had to think about
had
Jordan
think
Peele.
Jordan Peele had to think about it. So you can get that now. That's exclusively digital right now. If there's a movie you want to check out Get Out. That's available. We will be back next week. Next week, we will talk about Blade Runner 2049, The Dark Tower. We'll talk about, there's a whole bunch
ben
of stuff.
Ben Affleck getting in shape for Batman.
Getting in shape for Batman. We'll talk about...
Josh Gad playing the Penguin.
The Penguin.
God,
that,
I hope
we'll
that's not true.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll convince Night Darling to come back in a new outfit
yes.
next week. we'll talk about that. So stay tuned. We will be back next week. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch. Like our page. Follow us on Twitter at @_nerdwatch. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter @nerdwatchnation. Follow us on Instagram @_nerdwatch. And of course, you can get us on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdwatch. Please donate. We're fully fan funded, so make sure if you guys like the show to donate, that'd be fantastic. By the way, before we end this, I want to let you know if you're watching on YouTube, I've set it up to where if you guys want to subscribe to the pod or the video pod, you guys can subscribe over here, I think, and then you can watch another video here, I think. Anyway, I'm trying this new thing with anyway. We're out of time.
You're pointing at nothing.
Yeah, I'm pointing at nothing, but on this, what you'll see it on the screen. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoyed the spoiler-filled Guardians of the Galaxy commentary.
Oh yeah, Yondu dies.
Okay. Wow, man!
Daddy, no!
I could have gone without knowing that.
Wow!
Hashtag celestially garbage.
Shoot him with a gun.
Celestial garbage.
Oh. I could have gone without knowing that.
Wow.
That part.
We're out of time. So, so for.
I can.
So for Alika. So for.
Don't shoot the group! Or me!
No. So for Alika. Alright.
Hey!
We're still doing a show over here. So for Alika. For Todd. for the terrible, terrible Gannon, the one and only, the lovely Lindsay. You can follow her at Night Darling
Cosplay.
Oh, Kurt
Cosplay. Russell dies too.
Oh, no!
I'm never getting through this.
Stan Lee dies.
We can follow you at Night Darling Cosplay, right, my dear?
Yes.
At Night Darling Cosplay on Instagram. Check her out at Night Darling Cosplay on Instagram. We love having her in studio. She'll be back next, hopefully next week if she can. If not, she'll be mulling around for sure. I, of course, am G Money. So until next week, peace out. Much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys,
Aloha.